Hi, everyone. This is Klaatu, and I'm here at Southeast Linux Fest, sitting actually behind the Red Hat booth. I feel really official. I'm talking to Eric. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. So Red Hat is obviously one of the more, I guess, famous Linux companies, and you guys sponsor Fedora, which I use quite often. And I think, 5.3 just came out?
Red Hat Enterprise Linux, yeah. 5.3 released not too long ago for both the desktop and the server.
Okay. Desktop meaning that if you have a big organization and you need people to use Linux, then you can get this Red Hat license and have it as a site license or whatever.
Oh, yeah. So definitely. Lots of large firms will make the switch to Linux on the desktop for all of their regular employees, for their sort of office-type uses, email, documents, things like that.
Yeah. Well, one of the more interesting ones that I saw, I do a lot of film and video work as well, and I was at NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, and there was a graphics company, Autodesk, that does a program called Smoke. Actually, they do a lot, but it's for Linux, and it runs on Red Hat. So it was like a huge film company basically running Red Hat in the background. Do you get a lot of that as well?
Yeah, a lot of the big graphics design firms will use Red Hat Enterprise Linux for their render farms.
Yeah.
To do a lot of the heavy lifting on the back end.
Yeah.
It's also very popular in engineering circles.
Oh, okay.
So, mathematics, mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, a lot of the computer-aided design suites are all certified to run on Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So you'll see workstation users, and those firms will, run Red Hat on their quote-unquote desktop for those engineering uses.
So what's the difference? I know Fedora is kind of like the cutting edge. What's the difference, I guess, between running Fedora and Red Hat?
So really, when you're running Red Hat, you're getting a certified, tested, hardened product. So Fedora is sort of the future of Red Hat, and what the Red Hat team does is the engineers will take Fedora at some point in time and sort of take a snapshot of it and freeze it and say, this is where we're going to start. And they go through a rigorous process of tests and QA and patching and all these processes to make sure that the product that Red Hat is going to provide to its customers is going to be the most enterprise-ready, stable, supportable product that they can provide.
And there's no non-free software in Red Hat? How is that even possible to make a whole operating system without... Surely you need something, Apple or Microsoft or Adobe.
So there are certainly components that end users, that customers may require that may fall under the proprietary category.
Uh-huh.
And the most common example I talk about is something like the Oracle database.
Okay.
So obviously, Oracle database is a product that's used by many, many, many large companies to run, lots of heavy applications.
Right.
And obviously that's quote-unquote non-free.
Yeah.
So all of the underlying components behind that, behind the Red Hat operating system, are, all open source, free, the source code's available, you don't have to pay to get them to use them. But, customers still will find themselves using third-party, proprietary applications as a best-of-breed solution for the things that they have to do.
Yeah, okay. So, why would a company want to go with Red Hat as a problem? If they're going to spend money on a computer solution, why wouldn't they just go with something like Windows, that everyone else is using?
It really depends on what's going on. Generally speaking, Red Hat in the server, in the data center, can be a less expensive solution. It can be easier to manage. It can be made more secure, easily, with fewer resources and with better performance. So, for workloads that can run on either platform, more and more we're seeing companies are saying, we want to make the switch to Linux, to open source, to Red Hat.
Yeah, that's really cool. I really think that Red Hat is, the way that they push free software into the business world and stuff is really, really admirable. They do a lot of work on Linux and they send it back upstream, right? It's sort of a, I guess they have to for the GPL, but you hear a lot about people at Red Hat doing a lot for Linux, I guess.
Well, definitely. If you look at a lot of the open source projects out there and you look at the change logs for, things that have been done to these programs, you'll see a lot of Red Hat email addresses. We have a lot of our engineers who are out there, working on the code, contributing it back to the community. And sort of on the other hand, you have a lot of companies like IBM, like Oracle to a certain extent, Cisco and others that use Linux heavily and are sort of on the forefront, and they contribute code back as well. I mean, IBM is like one of the largest contributors to the kernel, to the core of the Linux operating system,
wow.
you know, out there.
How long have you been with Red Hat?
I've only actually been with Red Hat a little bit over a year. So
okay.
my 1 year anniversary was a few weeks ago.
Really? How long have you been using Linux?
I really started playing with Unix, Linux-like operating systems in the late 90s. I had a shell account accessing the internet and an IRC and stuff like that. And then in college, you know, there were some Solaris engineering computers,
right.
so I had some experience with that. You know, when we had to do some of our Java programming work for classes, you know, we had to log into the, you know, the Solaris and Unix servers on the back end.
Cool.
And a couple of years ago, I started playing with Linux because I was doing some, you know, web development and other things. So I got exposed to Red Hat there.
Cool.
And I've run everything from, you know, Fedora, Red Hat. I've tried Ubuntu and been unhappy and, you know, tried Gentoo and it was
right.
like too much work. And,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, I've been around the block and
yeah.
I've got my RHCE and my RHCT certification.
Cool.
So, you know, at this point, I guess I can say that I know a few things.
Yeah. Cool. What do you do for Red Hat again?
So I'm a solutions architect for Red Hat,
okay.
Which means that I work between the customer and the sales team
okay.
on providing technical information, technical
like what
resources
they need or
about
something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when they have questions, more technical questions about the capabilities of, you know, Red Hat's cluster suite or the global file system or, you know, directory server, you know, things of that nature, when they need more information than the salespeople can provide or when they want to, you know, understand about the total picture solution, that, you know, all the moving parts and how they can work together, those are the things that, you know, I work with customers.
Okay, well, this you might be the person to ask about this then. Is there anything that you personally can say that you have noticed, I guess, a big noticeable gap in you know, Red Hat or Linux that would prevent people from adopting it? Like, on the normal, like, the office level, like, an office comes to you and says, we want to go Linux for our normal office running stuff. What's missing, or is there anything missing?
I mean, typically, the big showstoppers today are still .NET applications that are written
right.
for the desktop.
Right, right.
So there are there's
which
a company,
a certain philosophical opposition to anyway, and a lot of Linux users.
Well, but I mean, you get a lot of large companies have a lot of engineering and manpower resources invested
okay.
in .NET. It's
okay.
ubiquitous. It's out there.
Okay.
And companies who want to make the switch, they come to us and say, you know, we're doing this on the desktop. What can we do? And we're starting to see third-party players out there who actually are coming up with solutions to run .NET on Linux, and I forget the name of the company, but there's one out there that actually runs the .NET as Java bytecode so that it actually can run on Linux.
Wow.
The second thing that
so
you
it's
see
not
is,
mono. It's something totally
no,
different.
No, it's totally different.
Wow.
The other thing that you see sometimes is customers are using proprietary applications that just don't run on Linux.
Right, right.
And
sure.
and while you have, you know, things like Wine that are out there that,
yeah.
you know, can help,
yeah.
you know, Wine's not something today that Red Hat has committed to that we're shipping. There
yeah.
are companies like Crossover,
yeah.
You know, that provide support and services just like Red Hat
yeah.
around the open source Wine.
Yeah.
So in some cases that's an option for some customers. But, you know, in other cases, it's just they have to make a switch from either whatever program they're using or find a way to move that program's back end to the data center and then access it via the web.
Oh.
So a lot of times you see, like, accounting people are using some desktop app.
Uh-huh.
Well, that app may actually be able to be centralized with a server program, and then they can continue to do their work just with their browser.
So you kind of, like, virtualize the program or something, and then you...
Well, it just depends on the program.
Oh, okay.
So in some cases, you have, you know, like, a suite of accounting software
sure.
that may be able to run in a client-server relationship instead
okay.
of just everybody runs it on their own desktop.
Gotcha. I understand.
So, you know, sometimes customers will say, well, I guess we can update our version to this newer version, which adds web browser support. Because,
right, okay.
you know... Running things in the quote-unquote cloud, in the data center, I mean, that's really where most enterprises are going. They don't want to have to worry about manipulating software on the desktop. They
yeah.
want to worry about change it once, and everybody accesses it from a browser,
right?
And
yeah.
then, you know, everybody gets the same thing,
no,
and then we
sense.
Only have to change one.
Yeah, it feels a lot more efficient that way anyway. So, well, cool. That is really informative, and I thank you for talking to me.
Yeah, and thanks
cool.
for having the show.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.